Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. There are many resurrection prophecies, and of course, resurrection is the central pillar in the Christian faith. I think of what Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." His resurrection is the earnest of our resurrection. Of course, the resurrection is spoken of by Daniel as well when he said, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and to everlasting contempt." Or this prophecy of Jesus Christ when he said, "Do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." But perhaps my favorite resurrection prophecy is what I call the Star of David prophecy. And among the starry hosts of Old Testament resurrection prophecies, I don't think any one shines more brilliantly than this. And of course, I refer neither to the Israeli flag nor to the badge of shame forced on the Jews during the Holocaust. I'm referring to a bright and morning star in the resurrection prophecies of David to prove that the death of Christ was in accordance with God's set purpose and foreknowledge, so that sin, the root cause of death, might be atoned for. David quoted the Star of David prophecy. This is what he said, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Of course, Peter left no doubt that David's words were a direct prophecy regarding the resurrection of Jesus. "I can tell you confidently," he said, "that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact." Of course, Peter's Pentecost sermon was so persuasive, so powerful, so poignant, that despite not having so much as a megaphone, 3,000 were added to the church that day. Resurrection prophecies that change hearts, that let people look beyond mean earthly vanities to eternal verities. One of the proofs that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, all part of maps, memorable keys to the Bible's divine inspiration. My flip chart, laminated 4x6, fits in a pocket or a purse, available for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Dane, listening in Richmond, Virginia, on the web. Hi, Dane.
Hey, I want to move right into the question so I won't lose receptivity. course, I'm driving, and I will have to just go by memory by these biblical passages I want to point out to you. I'm concerned about the passage about when Jesus talks about how men would look at women, and then, of course, he would say that when a man looked after a woman with lust in his heart, and he already committed adultery or something like that. And so, and then he goes on and says, if your left or right eye offended, gorge out, because it's better for your whole body to be saved from hell or something like that. And so my question to you, should we take that literally or should we take that figuratively?
No, figuratively. I mean, obviously Jesus is using prophetic hyperbole here. He's not suggesting that we start cutting off our limbs.
Well, what confuses me about this passage, then he talks about another passage about when the Pharisees talked about divorce and remarriage and things of that sort, and then he uses a emblematic expression about how there were eunuchs of men and eunuchs of God and eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, but there's a difference between that which is descriptive and that which is prescriptive, which is to say that, yes, there were not only in biblical history, but also you look at the early Christian church. There were people who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. And there were people who made themselves eunuchs because they struggled with various problems. But this is not prescriptive in any sense in the scripture. What's prescriptive is that our heart changes, and when our heart changes, our behavior changes.
Oh. You know, actually, I thought there were people out there that were struggling, you know, sexually and things like that, and they couldn't get it right, and so they were trying to align themselves with the Word of God because they needed rescue and deliverance.
No, when you have a cold, you don't cut off your nose.
No. Yeah, I guess you got a point there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate you.
Hey, you got it, my friend. Great talking to you today. Back to the phone lines. We want to talk to Lonnie in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Lonnie.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
A pleasure.
And thank you for having the courage to speak the truth.
Thank you.
I do have a question. I have been going to a Oneness Pentecostal church for a while. And while it has a lot of what I've been searching for my whole adult life, I have a problem accepting this particular church's teaching that speaking in tongues is the only way you can get the Holy Ghost, and that is the only way to know that you're saved. And the oneness, well, there are many Bible passages that provide that. I was basically raised believing in the Trinity, and I know that God Almighty is three in one. And so I have a hard time differentiating between the Trinity versus the oneness.
Yeah. Well, this is a classic example of error begets error. In other words, the belief that you have to be baptized only in the name of Jesus led Oneness Pentecostals to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So again, error begets error, heresy begets heresy. But to the first part of your question, the problem with Oneness Pentecostalism is exacerbated when they hold to a litany of legalistic prescriptions, including what you talked about, the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation. And you can imagine that places tremendous socio-psychological pressure on adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues, because those who do not speak in tongues are thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is a lot of guilt associated with attending there. Can speaking in tongues come from the evil one also?
Well, yeah, and it can be socio-psychological manipulation as well. So there are a lot of answers that you could give to that question, but there's no question in my mind whatsoever that a lot that goes under the rubric of speaking in tongues has nothing whatsoever to do with speaking in another language or even speaking in a heavenly language. It has to do with that which comes out of your mouth when you're under the sway of socio-psychological manipulation.
I see. Okay. Thank you so much. You've shed some light on a dark passage for me. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you so much for calling me. I want to mention as we go to break how important it is that you stand with the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially. We had some very difficult months, and as a result, we dug a pretty substantial hole financially, and we do need to fill in that hole. And of course, the way you do that is by making the most generous gift you can to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I cannot promise you a give-to-get scheme, but I can tell you that your gifts will be used for the propagation of the gospel and only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how God has used your faithfulness for His glory and the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip
and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Queen, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, K-A-R-I. Hi, Queen.
Hi, Hank. I really want to thank you for what the role that you're playing, especially these days where there's so much confusion. The reason that I called is because I was listening to you regarding somebody who called about speaking in tongues, that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the answer you gave, or part of the answer, was that the person said, I think you said, you said that the language, that what comes out of the person's mouth wasn't necessarily another language or heavenly language, that it was a psychosocial manipulation.
Yeah, what I was actually saying is something different in context. What I was saying is, in response to Oneness Pentecostalism, which was declared a heresy by the Assemblies of God First, which is also a Pentecostal denomination, and the reason it was called a heresy is because they denied the Trinity and they put socio-psychological pressure on people to conjure up the gift of tongues. No tongues, no salvation. And that was a horrible circumstance for people, because people felt such pressure to manifest tongues that they would manufacture tongues. And that was the context of what I was speaking about. So this is one Pentecostal denomination, the Assemblies of God, talking about an offshoot, which is Oneness Pentecostalism, and declaring that offshoot to be a heresy because they deny the Trinity and they put this socio-psychological pressure on people to conjure up the gift of tongues.
Okay. Thank you very much, because I know much about speaking in tongues, even the Bible. I know that it's an edification of self, it says, but then it's also, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that takes over when you start to speak in tongues. So it's not the one that is out of pressure, but if you really genuinely receive that gift of speaking in tongues, it's a wonderful thing, and it was a wonderful experience when I had it. So that was why I thought I really needed to clarify, because I know that I respect a lot of teachings and the opinions that you have on a lot of issues, which is very good, because it clarifies things for me and even a lot of people these days. And I just wish there were more people like you, that there were more of this kind of program. So for me to have heard that it was a psychosocial manipulation, I thought, what? So that's why I really, really wanted to call in. And thank you so much for taking my call.
You are so welcome. Thank you for calling today. God bless you. And back to the phone lines and talk to Robert. He's listening in Bellevue, Nebraska. Hi, Robert.
I got a few skeptic friends who seem to believe that the Bible is plagiarized from a few different sources. One name that keeps coming up is Gerald Macy. And I wanted to know what you knew about this particular author, and how credible is he actually?
No, it's not credible at all. This is, you know, error begets error, a classic example of people piling on one person, taking some information from another person, and then regurgitating it. And it's a great example of how internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. I would say that this prevailing myth, which is widely circulated, is that the similarities between Christianity and the mystery religions are striking. And purveyors of that kind of mythology employ biblical language and then go to great lengths to concoct commonalities. So, for example, there's an alleged similarity between Christianity and the cult of Isis. The god Osiris is supposedly murdered by his brother and then buried in the Nile, and the goddess Isis recovers the cadaver, loses it once again to her brother-in-law, who cuts the body into 14 pieces and then scatters the pieces around the world. And after finding the parts, Isis baptizes each piece in the Nile, and Osiris is resurrected. Well, these are alleged similarities, and the terminology that's used to communicate these alleged similarities are exaggerated, because the parallels between the resurrection of Osiris and the resurrection of Christ are, of course, an obvious stretch, and that's about as good as it gets for the mysteries. Other parallels that are cited by these kind of liberal scholars are even more far-fetched. Not only do these liberals have the chronology all wrong, because most mysteries flourished long after the closing of the canon of Scripture, but it'd be far more accurate to say that the mysteries were influenced by Christianity than the other way around. And, of course, the mystery religions reduced reality to a personal experience of enlightenment, whereas Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. The mystery religions are syncretistic. The Christian religion is very exclusivistic and unique. Exclusivistic in the sense that it says there's only one way. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So the commonalities that are concocted are always a stretch, and it's surprising that in an age of scientific enlightenment and reason augmented by revelation that people can get away with this stuff.
Okay. You know, I agree with everything you just said. It's just that sometimes when you get in these, you know, debates with your friends about these people that come up with these myths and everything, you don't know exactly where to go to find the information. You know, I looked on the internet to try to, you know, figure out where I could, you know, debunk this guy's claims, and I was running into walls.
Well, here's what you can do. I mean, this is one of the reasons I say that equip.org is a safe zone. You can go to the web at equip.org, and there are articles there that will help you. And these articles are vetted. They correspond to reality. There's no sensationalism involved. I've also actually dealt with this question in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, in one of the entries. The entry is, was Christianity influenced by ancient pagan mystery religions?
Okay. Great. Hey, thanks, Hank. Would I just search Gerald Macy in the search box on your website, or and it'll pull up some information for me? Or?
Yeah, you could, but what I would do is look for the article that's titled, Was the New Testament Influenced by Pagan Religions? By Ronald Nash, and it's very instructive, and he is a very credible scholar in this regard. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jeff next, Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Do you feel any events in prophecy will happen prior to Christ's return?
Well, not biblical prophecy. And in terms of modern-day prophets, they can't foretell the future. They're as inept as the soothsayers were in Nebuchadnezzar's court. So what we know is that Jesus is going to return again. We do not know when he's going to return again, so that we should be prepared as though he might come any moment and prepare as though his coming could be a long way off, because we simply don't have any indication in Scripture, no sign to look forward to. We know that Christianity continues like the birth pains of a woman. There are times of peace and calm, and there are times of great turmoil and pain, and it will be so until Jesus returns a second time. And when he does, he'll put all things to right. The problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. The dead will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe will be transformed, and we will live with a resurrected Christ in a resurrected cosmos and resurrected bodies. That's what we can look forward to.
I think I'm most confused about the absolute chaos happening in the last 200 years of our history. It seems like no other time in history has there been such technological and...
Well, we're narcissistic when it comes to history. I mean, if you would have lived in the 13th century in the Black Death, you would have thought that that was the time of Christ's coming, because a third of Europe was decimated. If you lived during the First World War, you would have said, this is the time of Christ's second coming. If you would have lived during the Second World War, when the Jews were being killed and slaughtered gratuitously, you would have said, this is definitely it. There have been times throughout history when people were certain. In fact, I can make a statement even more strongly than that. The one thing we know about prophecy pundits is that each one of them thinks that they live in the terminal generation, and they've been 100% wrong 100% of the time, and time after time, they end up dragging Christ's name through the mud with their prophecy nonsense. And this goes on in our own day. Just think back to Harold Camping. He predicted the time of Christ's second coming. Jack Van Impe correlated this with the Mayan calendar and says it's going to happen December 21st, 2012. But the dates come and go, and the skeptics laugh because they think, if the Bible's wrong here, maybe the Bible's wrong everywhere else. Of course, the Bible doesn't say anything about this, so the Bible isn't wrong here to begin with.
Does your intellectual curiosity take you anywhere when you consider the horse and buggy to the Apple iPhone in, what, 100 years? I mean, does that have any eschatological meaning whatsoever?
It means we're getting closer and closer to the time of Christ's coming, which is to say that we are 100 years closer today than we were 100 years ago. But it still does not tell us when Jesus Christ is going to come. If you would have lived at the time Aristotle lived, Aristotle would have told you that everything that could be discovered had been discovered. He was dead wrong. If you would have lived in some other epoch of time, someone else would have told you that. Is it possible that Jesus Christ is going to come? Of course it is. But the Bible doesn't tell us when he's going to come. What the Bible does tell us is exactly what I said earlier. Be prepared, because he could come in the next millisecond, and prepare as though his coming is a long way off. If I think Jesus Christ is going to come in the next 2 hours or 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, why do I have to prepare for college for my 8-year-old? This leads to all kinds of devastation in the lives of people, so we simply shouldn't abide this kind of sensationalism, sophistry, and selling, which unfortunately is going under the rubric of Christ.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences, as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.